you for tuning in again to the Word of Life Ministries podcast for another Spirit-filled message with Rocky Brown. Hallelujah. All right. So, I thought that this week we were going to finish up the last portion of the elementary principles of Christ. But, you know, it's funny. I'm not Lord. Jesus is. And this is not my church. It's His. So, that means that we do what He wants to do. Even if that train wrecks a teaching series that I'd like to get wrapped up so I can get on to other things, you know, because I've got other things I'd like to teach. You know, this elementary principle series is about, gosh, I guess it's been 12 or 13 or 14 parts by the time to this point. There's some other things I'd like to teach on. But Kim's a slow listener, so we got to go slow, right? It's all Kim's fault. Just kidding. Just kidding. We're praying for Brother Mark. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. We love Sister Kim. All right, but so yesterday I knew that the Lord didn't want to talk about that this morning. I didn't know what He wanted to talk about, to be perfectly honest with you. Until I opened my eyes this morning, I still had no idea what He wanted to talk about this morning. But you know what? I don't stress. People say, "Well, you didn't even know what you were going to talk about all the way up to service." It don't make no difference if I walk in the door here or walk right up here to the pulpit. An engineered word may be ingenuine. So we need to hear from heaven about what does the Lord want to say, right? So sometimes days, weeks. I've even been a couple months ahead on some messages where I knew exactly what He wanted to say, where He wanted to say it. And sometimes I've walked right to the pulpit and seemingly come right down to the wire. Well, people say, "Don't that worry you?" Not particularly. I seen in the Old Testament that He talked through a donkey one time. And if He can talk through a donkey that will cooperate, guess what? He can talk through me if I'll cooperate. So this morning, I opened my eyes. And I knew exactly what the Lord wanted to talk about. Now, interestingly enough, the kids and I were up way too late last night. Abby said, "Amen, Brother Daddy. Amen, Brother Daddy. Amen." Good preaching, Brother Daddy. Good preaching. The kids and I were up way too late last night watching TV. Watching The Last Samurai, to be more specific. And so, you know, we were all kind of dragging a little this morning. And I got up substantially later, and Cheyenne's still kind of dragging. She's kind of like, "Gosh, I'm ready to go to sleep right now." Not because of my preaching, just because she stayed up too late. Let's just clear that up. So I kind of want to go to sleep myself, if you want to know the truth. Not because of my preaching, just because I stayed up too late. You know, it's bad when your own preaching puts you to sleep. So we watched The Last Samurai last night, and so those of you that know anything about me, you know I have a long-standing martial arts background, so on and so forth. And so the way that I view a lot of things is completely different than a lot of pastors, because I kind of look at things more from a warrior mindset. Meaning, what's that mean? Well, a warrior mindset means I'm going to perform the task. I'm going to achieve the goal. It doesn't matter necessarily what the odds are against me, right? So we stand up for what's right, we don't back down, and we don't take backwater just because there's some things that needs to be done that maybe some people don't like, right? So I got up this morning, and I opened my eyes, and the Lord said to me, "Honor. Talk to the people about honor." All right. Well, honor in today's society is a seemingly forgotten word, because we live in a society of self-gratification, self-amplification, and self-exaltation. Now, we don't necessarily like to hear that, but it is the truth nonetheless. What did I say last week? How do we say all eyes on me without saying all eyes on me? Selfie. Right? That's how we do it. And as I began to, there were some things that I saw yesterday on some social media stuff that by Christian people that, I'm going to be honest with you, greatly, greatly displeased me. No one here, so I don't want anybody to think that the content that I'm going to talk about this morning has anything to do with anyone here, but this is a very, very big problem in today's world. And when the Lord calls us to address certain things, you know that's what we do. Because we don't preach for likes. We don't preach for popularity. Now, many people that preach the gospel in truth are popular. But we don't preach for popularity. We preach to be pleasing to the Lord God. Like 1 Kings 22, when they brought the prophet Micaiah to give a word to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and they warned the prophet. They said, you better prophesy something good to Ahab. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever he says, that I will speak. Well, you know what? Sometimes you're going to get a word from the Lord that ain't going to make some people too happy. Because sometimes a word from the Lord is correction. Or it's a potential warning of judgment. You don't repent, judgment's coming. You don't repent, correction's coming. You see what I mean? And so as I saw some things yesterday that greatly displeased me, it was in this that I didn't orchestrate or engineer the message this way, but the Lord used what I saw that I felt like was a great dishonor in how some people are acting. That claim to be followers of Christ. And yet their actions are dishonoring to him and to those around them. Right? So we're going to walk through this thing. And we're going to kind of talk about it. Okay? But honor, now you've heard me say this several times. There are many words in English that can have quite drastically different meanings, right? Like fear, okay? Fear has two categories of primary meaning. In our society, it means to be fearful or afraid or scared. But so when people take that definition and apply them to a lot of the scriptures, they're actually applying the wrong definition to what the Lord is saying. Because oftentimes when you're told in scripture to fear the Lord, or to fear the Lord your God, you're being commanded to have honor and reverence and respect for the Lord and toward the Lord, right? Because see, 1 John chapter 4 tells us that perfect love casts out fear because fear makes one afraid. See that? So there, fear is a word that has two categories of definition. Now, this word honor has actually multiple categories of definition. Honor can be how someone is treated or esteemed. Honor can be a title given to someone of great authority, like a judge. You go to the court, what do they call the judge? Your honor. Honor can also be the code of conduct in which you morally live your life. A code of honor. All right? So, but it's interesting that two of these categories are always going to walk hand in hand. And that is the code of conduct in which you conduct your life and the honor and reverence in which you hold toward other people, and ultimately what is given toward you, right? So when we look at this, we see that honor as a noun means to have high respect or great esteem for. It can be the quality, listen very carefully, the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. It can be to regard with great respect as a verb. That means you're doing this toward someone or someone is doing this toward you. It can mean to fulfill an obligation or keep an agreement. It can mean to treat or regard someone with admiration or respect or to give special recognition to someone. Okay? So, in the code of the samurai, okay, this is called Bushido. Now, it's interesting that when you actually look at this, the tenets or the creed or the oaths of Bushido almost mirror Christianity. They almost mirror it. As a matter of fact, it would do a lot of Christians a lot of good to go look at these seven virtues of Bushido and then learn how to apply them in their lives because it would make you a better Christian. And once you began to look at them, you'd say, well, the Word says this. The Word shows this. The Word, to have courage, all right? That's one of the tenets of Bushido, all right? Well, we want to take that to the Word, don't we? Be strong and of good courage. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, to be of good courage, right? You know, and honor and respect and all these different things, right? See, there's a thing that goes on. There are things that take place in our society and in our thought processes that are justification for inappropriate actions. Well, I'm just a man. Well, that's not an excuse for your actions. So when you're 45 years old and you're acting like a moron, you don't get to cop out under the excuse, well, I'm just a man. No, be a man. Take care of your family. Do what's right in the sight of the Lord God. Be there. Do what's right in the sight of God. That's not an excuse. Running off and leaving your family to go fishing every weekend and all of these things and acting like an idiot when you're coaching kids' football teams or baseball teams or whatever else. No, that's not right in the sight of the Lord God. You don't get to act that way and cop that off just because of your gender. Well, you know, I just fall apart all the time and I'm so emotional all the time because I'm a woman. No, that's not right. How many times in Scripture would you like to go and look at the Ruths and the Esthers and the Deborahs and these great women of God that rose up and said, I'm going to do what's right in the sight of God? See that? We need to quit making excuses and justifications for poor morality and poor conduct. It's very popular, isn't it? You know, well, you know, my wife does all the Bible teaching of the kids. Okay, well, you know what you need to do? You need to repent and get right in the sight of the Lord God because your wife is not commanded to do all the teaching of the children when it comes to spiritual matters. You'd like Bible for that, wouldn't you? Sure you would. And you fathers, Ephesians 6, bring your children up in the correction and admonition of the Lord. Teach them the right ways. See, too many women have been saddled with burdens that they shouldn't even be carrying and are not created to carry. Be the person that God has created you to be and called you to be. You see that? Honor. Honor is something that is of the highest importance. And it's very important. It's a very, very popular trait or virtue in heaven. So if I look at it from a perspective of honor, this code of honor is how I conduct my life, how I view honor must be correct about how I treat people, how I honor people, right? So this is a good quote. Honor is viewed as the decision someone makes and how they carry them out, and it is a reflection of whom that person truly is. The decisions that you make, the way that you conduct yourself, and then the way that you conduct your life or carry out the decisions speaks entirely to your character. Many seek to be honored in the sense of being treated with great respect or admiration or special recognition, but few seek to treat others in this manner. So a lot of people expect to be honored, expect to be treated with respect, yet do not expect of themselves to do these things. From a Christian perspective of knowing and doing what is morally right, it seems as though some Christians struggle with this and how they treat others, like their husband or wife, or their children, or their friends, or their boss, or others in general. How you treat others is a direct reflection of how you honor and love the Lord. I'm going to give you Bible for that. You'd want Bible for that, wouldn't you? How you treat others, how you honor others, how you conduct yourself toward others is a direct reflection of how you truly feel about the Lord. Woo! So a lot of people we see claiming that they love the Lord, but they're treating everybody around them or a lot of people around them in not a good way. And we're going to see what the Bible says about that in just a minute, because you don't want to know it. You don't really want to know what the Bible says about that. But I'm going to tell you. And listen to me. I'm preaching just as much to me as I am to anybody here. This is not directed at anybody. This was something that I really do endeavor to try to make sure that I'm the same all the time, that I'm treating people this with fairness and justness. And Lord, what do you want to do here? Lord, what is the command that you have for me here, Lord? You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because I miss it too. But, you know, we all need to be striving to a higher mark, a higher point to do better, right? How you treat people ultimately says more about your character than it does the character of the people that you deal with. Ooh. Oh, man. How you treat people says more about your character than the character of the people that you're dealing with. Oh, man. You'd like Bible for that, wouldn't you? Sure. How did the Lord act? Did the Lord get down there in the mud and sling mud with the Pharisees when they came and said horrible things to him and everything else? No, he answered them with the word, didn't he? Yet he honored them and treated them with respect. But he corrected them. See that? How did he treat those people that came to him and probably stunk? Didn't smell so good. He treated them with respect and honor. Right? So if the Lord, think about it like this, if the Lord Jesus honored people and still does honor people, who are we to think that we are greater than our master? Is a servant greater than their master? Certainly not. Yet it does seem like, though, in the state of Christian culture and mindset that we think, we see we've got a lot of people that are supposed to be servants, but are actually thinking themselves better than their master. It's an improper understanding of honor. So let's look at some things. We've got the old Bible program rolling up here. Can everybody see this okay? I might be able to make that just a shade bigger, shade bigger, shade bigger. There we go. All right. Now I want you to see this. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Wait a minute. We got a big problem right here already. They come to the Lord and they say, why do your disciples, they're transgressing they're sinning against the tradition of the elders because they're not washing their hands before they eat bread. What'd Jesus say? Why do your disciples transgress the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. Uh-oh. That's serious right there, isn't it? Because now we see the tradition of men come up against the commandment of God. Which one's greater? Woo! For the command saying, you honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let them be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Now, I want you to focus on this word right there. But think about what Jesus is saying here. Now, what the Pharisees and the religious rulers of the time had been doing was, see, there was a gift that was designed to take care of people's families or their parents if they were struggling. So they said, you take the gift and you give it to your parents if they're struggling. But the Pharisees and the religious rulers said, no, it's okay for you to take that gift that's supposed to help your mom and dad and offer it as a gift to God. See, the command of God was, if your mother and father have need, take care of them. But the Pharisees said, no, it's okay. You take, let them be in need, and you bring that gift here and offer it up as an offering to God. What'd Jesus say this made them? Hypocrites. Woo! Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people, watch this, draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is where? Far from me. So how you're treating people says more about your character than it does those people. Because if you're on social media acting like you love Jesus, yet you acting like a heathen behind closed doors, guess what? You draw near to him with your lips, but in your heart, you're far from him. And what category does the Lord say this moves you into? Hypocrite. Woo, man. If Jesus calls you a hypocrite, you are one. Don't matter what you think. Don't matter whether you like it, don't like it. Don't matter if your mama like it, your mama don't like it. It don't make no difference. If you fall into this category, the Lord says, you are a hypocrite. I'm going to preach a message in a few weeks called The Model Churchgoer. A person I went to school with had reached out about a month ago and discussed some things with me and told me that they had been back in church, that they hadn't been in church in over 20 years. And the reason was is that their parents had used religion against them. Well, I wanted to find out what that meant right then, but you know the Holy Spirit checked me and said, no, not right now. You know, about 2 or 3 weeks later, it started rolling around in my spirit that the Lord wanted me to reach out to this person and say, hey, if you feel comfortable in sharing this with me, would you explain a little bit more about what that meant? And they did. And what this person said to me astonished me. I mean, I was shocked. I couldn't believe what I read. But in this person's message to me, they said, my parents looked like the model churchgoers, but behind closed doors, they were really this. This person, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their actions prove that their heart is far from me. Ain't that what Jesus said right there? You draw near to me with your lips, but when you take the commandment, you ignore the commandment and you take the gift and you do something completely opposite of what I told you to do with it, you're far from me in your heart. And what? And in vain They worship me, teaching as the doctrines, the commandments of men. So let's watch this. And they honor me, right? So honor here is translated from the Greek word timao. I don't know that I can make that any bigger, but timao, and it means here, this Greek word means to set the value of something, to honor, to have reverence for. But I thought to myself, I said, it's interesting that this word means to set the value of something. With their lips, they proclaim that my value is great, but behind closed doors to them, my value is nothing because of how they're really acting. Wow. See that? Let's keep on reading and see what else the Lord has to say. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear to understand, it's not what goes into a mouth that into the mouth that defiles a man." This is actually probably the Greek word anthropos. We could look at that. It is the Greek word anthropos, and this is just the Greek phrase for human being. So this is man or woman. But what comes out of the mouth, this is what defiles a person. All right. So it's interesting that in this text right here, the word honor, the same Greek word, is used three times. Timao, the value that you set on me. Isn't that interesting? See, so here we see the word establish the precedent. Now watch this. Watch the precedent that's set here. The precedent that's set here is that that ties honor to how we value someone or something. So how we honor or dishonor someone tells them and ultimately everybody what you assess that person's true value to be. Say what? That's what the word says. The Lord says that these, watch this. The Lord says these people claim to love me. They claim to honor me. They claim to respect me. They claim to value me with their lips, but their heart does none of these things. How we treat people is the proof of how we love the Lord. Ooh, man. Hell's still hot. Repentance is still something that's good, right? So here's the question. And again, this is not targeted. Please, this is not. I don't want you all to think that I'm saying anything to anybody here because you all are absolutely, wonderful people and shining examples. But we do see these people, right? We do see these people in life that they claim to be one thing, yet the actions of their life preach hypocrite. Their mouth says faithful servant, but their actions say hypocrite. Right? So if honor, how we honor someone is irrevocably connected to how we value that person, how are we honoring our spouses? How are we honoring our children? How are we honoring our family? How are we honoring our friends? Because all of this ultimately says how much we honor the Lord. You can't disconnect. Woo! Are you forgiving people? Are you treating people with respect and dignity? Watch this. You'd like Bible for that, wouldn't you? Sure you would. Yes, you would. Because y'all are Bible-loving people. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see how we just tied that right back in there? You know, the Ten Commandments, really, a number of them teach us how to honor God, and the other number teach us how to honor people. Isn't that something? If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus treated people with honor, respect, and dignity. Did he not? Jesus forgave. Jesus did not do things that could inspire doubt in his relationships. If Jesus had a wife, he wouldn't be posting selfies on Facebook and Instagram seeking affirmation from other people about his looks or his physique. Jesus wouldn't be commenting about how gorgeous he thought other women were. Woo! Oh, that's hot preaching right there, Pastor. Yeah, it's hot preaching because I see this. I see this taking place. This ought not be taking place because when you do that, you're telling your spouse or whoever how you really value them. And watch this. If you're embracing someone, you know, and don't get me wrong, people change their profile picture, whatever else. I'm not saying that, or people are posting blah, 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 this and that, or whatever else. I'm not against that. I share pictures of me and the kids all the time. I mean, I'm not against it in any way. But if you're married and you post a picture of yourself and the other opposite sex, people that are single or married are getting on there and making comments about how they think that you look, you know what you ought to do? You ought to handle your business. If that person's single, you better unfriend them because they're not telling you that they think you're good looking just to make you feel better. I'm going to preach this thing. They're not telling you that you're gorgeous just because they want to make you feel better. How are you honoring your spouse? You better handle your business. Because if you claim to be a man or woman of God, and yet your actions are injecting doubt into your relationship, you are not right in the sight of God. Well, you know, they don't mean anything, but no, you don't get to say that. Well, they don't mean anything by it. No, you don't get to say that. If you're a man, the only women that should be commenting, and you're married, the only woman that should be commenting on your profile picture about how they think you look is your mama or your wife or your grandma or your daughters. You know, you got some single hoochie mama up in Ohio that's a destroyer of lives. She don't need to be commenting on your Facebook profile. And if she is, you as a man of God better handle your business. Which means she is no longer on the friends list. I mean, it's very simple. I'm getting so excited, I'm throwing stuff out of my pockets. It may be money next. Watch out. Jesus would not do things that would inject doubt into his relationships. If Jesus had a wife, he wouldn't be doing it. Handle your business. You see what I'm saying? We see this happen on social media all the time, do we? Yes, we do. Does anybody hardly speak out about it from their pulpit? No. Why? Because they're afraid of losing people. Well, you know what? I don't want anybody to leave. We want people to come so they can be taught the word. But you know what? Pastor is number 3 on my list of calling. That's fact. The office of pastor is the 3rd office of ministry in which I stand in. Not the 1st one. And not the 2nd one. And as the Lord lives, whatever he says, that I will speak. Because in that day, when I stand before him in judgment, y'all ain't going to be there. And he's going to say, hey, I put this in your heart to handle this, and you did nothing. Why? Well, you know, Lord, I didn't want people to leave. You know, Lord, I didn't want anybody to be upset. You know, Lord, I didn't want anybody to be offended. Jesus was a hot preacher. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. We're going to see this in just a minute. John the Baptist was a hot preacher. How you treat people tells them their value to them. It's you can't unhook it. See what I mean? If the Lord Jesus had children, he wouldn't be hanging their every mistake over their heads, using their past failures against them, because when someone truly repents, he truly forgives. You'd like a little Bible to back this up, wouldn't you? 1 John 2:6 says this. Now, remember a few minutes ago when I told you that you didn't want to know necessarily what the Bible says about that if you're saying one thing and acting this way? But I'm going to give it to you. 1 John, let me just pull it up here. I hate for there to be any questions left here. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Is this encouraging anybody? Or are you just saying, I wish they'd just stone this man like they used to stone them prophets in the Old Testament? Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in them. Who said that? Did Brother Rocky say that? No, the Holy Spirit of the living God said that. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in them. By this we know that we are in him. The one that says they abide in him ought themselves also to walk just as he walked. So you're supposed to look like Jesus if you claim to be a Christian. You are not Jesus, but you're supposed to be trying to act like him. You're supposed to be trying to talk like him. You're supposed to be trying to think like him. You're supposed to be trying to do what he did. You see what I'm saying? Are your actions from a point of being morally right in the sight of the Lord? Or are they causing doubt in the minds of people that you claim to love? Which one is it? See, this is what the precedent that the Word gives us. If you say you love me, do what I tell you to do. Keep my commandments. What is our charge or command as Christians? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 tells us this. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. All right, well, we don't have a king, but we have a president. So how are you talking about the president? Are you treating that person with honor and respect for the position in which they're in? Doesn't matter if you like the person, doesn't matter if they're the worst scumbag on the face of the earth. Are you treating them with honor and respect? You don't have to like someone, you don't have to love someone, and you don't have to agree with someone to treat them with honor and respect and dignity. But see, you're in a politically supercharged climate that tells you that the person that's on the other side of the voting board is incorrect and you are morally superior to them. And watch this, to quote my black dad, Robin Ricks, you have taken a political affiliation and exalted it to the level of the cross. The Christian code of honor. Well, the samurai had Bushido, the way of the warrior. Does the scripture give us any type of idea about what our code of conduct should be? Sure it does. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. All right, so act like God. And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Act like God. Well, how's God act? Well, Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Let's look at one more thing, though, and then we're going to wrap it up and we'll get you out of here. You ready for this? There's one chapter that we can go and we can check ourselves. You know what chapter it is? Sure you do. It's 1 Corinthians 13. All right. So the first three verses tell us what takes place when God, when the love of God is not the primary motivation. So it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give a body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. All right? Then we start looking at the character traits of love. See, this is how we're going to tell people. This is how we're going to honor people. This is how we're going to tell people their value to us. So whoever those people are that's closest to you in your life and in your heart, guess what? Love suffers long and is kind. Now, don't mistake me. This is not natural love. You see this translated as the English word love. This is not natural love. This is the Greek word agape. This is actually the Greek word that John, the Apostle John, uses in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 when it says God is love. The Greek would read theos is agape. This is not how God feels towards you. This is what makes God God. This is Him at His DNA structure. If you could unzip God, boom, this is what makes Him Him. This is who He is. This is the purest love that there is. This is the position in which God does everything. This love, Romans 5 tells us, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost when we get born again. So your heart, by the Holy Spirit, is poured full of this love. Now your mind has to be renewed to let this be the position in which you view life. The very first thing that God commands us to do after being born again is to begin to renew our mind, to change our way of thinking. So that way we start thinking the way God thinks. Love suffers long and is kind. Well, I can suffer long, but I'm not necessarily so good at being kind while I'm doing it. See, we all got our stuff we're working on here, don't we? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Well, what's that mean? Well, what's a parade do? A parade puts on a big show to draw all the attention to where? The parade. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. I like how another translation says, is not inflated with arrogance. Is not puffed up. Does not what? Doesn't behave rudely. So that means that at the moment that you know that you're about to behave rudely to that person in the drive-thru or at the restaurant because they got your order wrong, or the Walmart parking lot, which as many of you know is probably my Nineveh. Abby's like, that's right. That's right, Dad. It's exactly right. You're telling the truth right now, Dad. Right? So when someone pulls out in front of me in the Walmart parking lot, when I'm from here to the camera stand, and they're just blinking their eyes, blink, 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 like they're looking at you like you did something wrong, right? You don't give them the number one salute. Don't look at me like you don't think like that. I know you do. Y'all got some flesh to be dealing with, right? That's not the number one I was thinking of, but very good. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Another translation says, esteems others better than itself. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. What do you think that means? Well, not provoked means to be brought to extreme anger quickly. Thinks no evil really means I'm not plotting the downfall or demise of those who have harmed me or tried to do me wrong. I'm not thinking about their destruction. And if the thought is coming to my mind, I'm standing against that because I'm saying that's not the way that the Lord wants me to operate, right? So just because the thoughts are trying to come at you don't mean that you're failing, right? It's what you do with it. Brother Hagin said it like this, a bird could fly over your head, but you don't have a problem until you let it build a nest in your hair. That's the way that the adversary works. And don't make no mistake. If you struggle in these areas, the adversary is going to do what he can to orchestrate events and things to put you in this position to where you behave rudely. Or you are provoked. Or you are thinking, I'd like to put the stone cold stunner on that guy right there. Does not rejoice in iniquity. All right, watch this. Does not rejoice in iniquity. What's that mean? Well, this means that it does not celebrate anything that is a transgression against God. So, for example, one of the common things that I see is this. I see people who are having marital trouble, and they decide that they're going to part ways, and then before their divorce is final, someone's posting pictures, and they have a multitude of people that are supposed to be Christian celebrating this. That is rejoicing in iniquity. Because you are supporting that which is not right in the sight of God. I'm not saying that divorce is something that doesn't take place, but you're not single until you're divorced. Going through a divorce is not final until the divorce is final, naturally speaking. You don't get to cop out and say, well, you know, they quit loving me years ago, and you start singing that old George Jones song, he stopped loving her today. Right? You are not single until your divorce is naturally settled. That means if you are dating and you're not divorced, and you're a Christian, you are sinning against the Lord. That's going to be a very popular one on Facebook. I don't care. It doesn't matter because as the Lord lives, whatever he says, that I'm going to say. So when you have people that are celebrating this, and we see it, don't we? Do we see this? Sure you do. That's rejoicing in iniquity. But it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Now let's go back to this just a minute. Believes all things. Now what does that mean here? Right? Does that mean that it just love, just believes whatever it's told? No, that's not what that means. That's not what that means. Believes all things. Another translation would better render this and say, believes that the best can be brought out of anybody with God's assistance. Because you know what? You got someone that's a mass murderer, you better not trust them. That goes to say, oh, you know, I don't feel this way no more. No, you better use caution. Hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now you'll get here, and this is one of my favorite ones. Let me see if I can roll this up a little bit. Love never fails. All right. Now you'll go right back here, and you'll see on people's Facebook memeology that said if it failed, it wasn't love. Well, you know, this is not natural love. But people will take this and try to apply this to a natural situation. Well, you know, if it was true love, it would have never failed. No, you love someone in the natural, but bless God, you better have it amplified and powered by the true love of God in you, because, you know, your kids will test your gangster. And And you might be testing the gangster in your kids. You see what I'm saying? You can have the best of friendships that you love this person with everything that's in you, and they'll push your button sometimes. That's why all sources of love that are good, and there are good sources of love. There are, you know, a love between a husband and a wife is a beautiful thing. A love between parents and children is a beautiful thing. Philadelphia, brotherly love, love from one Christian brother to another in the faith, or that is a wonderful and beautiful thing. There are also things like philar gross, which is the love of money. That's not the right kind of love. You see what I'm saying? And we're going to go through this series and teach on this. There's about 13 or 14 Greek words or word phrases that are translated into to love. It's distorted. No wonder we can't get people to believe God loves them. Because we love everything. We love cheeseburgers. We love baseball. We love it. We just love until we don't. And then it ain't even, Abby's like, I love blue slush. That's Abby. And there's no middle of the road. We either love something or we hate it. Right? But remember this. This is where we go, okay, am I doing okay here? Am I excelling here? Or am I lacking here? See, if you went home, and I've done this. I heard Brother Hagin say this a number of years ago, and then Mark Hankin said it. Read this every day. Read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8 every day. You married couples that are here, read this every day. Sit down with your spouse and read it every day. And you will be amazed at how this will transform your life. This chapter, this walking in love, I think I told this. Did I tell this? I told it Wednesday night, didn't I? About Brother Hagin's last camp meeting. So I'll share this with you and then I'll go, right? So, you know, I didn't excel in walking in love. I naturally do not excel at walking in love. Because I was a heathen in the world. You spit on me, I'm going to spit on you twice, a coming and a going. You slap me, I'm going to do everything in my power to knock your driving lights out. I was brought up rough. And so, you know, I tell people sometimes I was birthed into the kingdom breach. I came into the kingdom of God breach backwards, a kicking and a screaming. And so the Lord had a lot of work to do on me. I mean, a lot. Like, you think I ain't doing very good now? You should have known me then. I mean, the Lord dealt with me rough sometimes. I don't get this stuff. You know, Jesus always talks to me like cupcakes and roses. No, he got me a handful of times. Like one morning about, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years ago now. You know, I'm a morning person. Like, my kids can tell you that. Like, I am a morning person. I love mornings. Like, I mean, I get up. Man, I mean, I'm just cranking. The kids, not so much. And so one morning I woke up, this is like 5 years ago, right? And I woke up and I was in a bad mood. Very weird, very rare. You know, that's the very morning the Lord began to want to talk to me about some things I didn't necessarily want to talk about. And so the Lord is talking to me. He'd say something and I'd go, yep. And I'll never forget it. I was standing right in front of the closet in the bedroom in the old house we lived in right there beside where we're at. And I dropped a sock in the floor, and I bent down to pick it up, and the Lord said something to me. And as I was bending down picking it up, I said, I know that, Lord. And the Lord said to me, if you know that, why are we having this conversation? And I just stopped. And I just lifted my hands. And I said, Lord, I should forgive me. I need to hear what you're saying. You don't need to hear what I got to say. I need to hear what you got to say, right? So, but 2016, I heard Mark Ankins tell the story about Kenneth E. Hagin. I don't know if you all know who Kenneth E. Hagin is, but wonderful man of God, prophet of God, just a phenomenal teacher. And Brother Hagin was up probably in his early 80s, and there was the last camp meeting that he was at, and there was this air of anticipation, you know, it's coming to the last message. What message is going to be brought forth by the great prophet of God? So everybody's kind of like in suspense. And they said Brother Hagin went to the pulpit, opened his Bible, and said, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to talk about the topic of love. And in the last years, probably the last 15 or 20 years of his ministry, his focus became more and more about teaching on the God kind of love, walking in love. Because see, it never, see this love, it never what? So this is the love of God, the love that God is. And Romans 5 tells us that it's gushed out lavishly in our heart by the Holy Ghost. This love never fails. So if you want to never fail, guess what? Walk in love. Because see, this love on the inside of you will always esteem others higher than yourself. This becomes the focus. And then if this becomes the focus, we don't have to worry about sinning against God. You wouldn't have to be told to have no other gods before Him. You wouldn't even think it. You wouldn't have any trouble setting aside a specific day just for Him. See that? You wouldn't have to be told, don't steal or don't lie against your neighbor, because that's unthinkable to this kind of love. So this love in us should be setting the precedent for how we honor and value everyone around us. Does that make sense? See, this, our code of honor ultimately affects how we honor everybody. And watch this. You want God to honor you, don't you? Sure you do. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting the whole of your worries, all of your cares, all of your anxieties once and for all upon Him, because He cares about you watchfully and cares for you abundantly. So think about it like this. It's really hard for the Lord to honor us if we dishonor people. For us to dishonor people is ultimately a dishonor to Him, because it's a rebellion against His commandments. Well, there you go. We'll wrap this thing up. 12:24. Hallelujah. If anybody needs prayer for anything after service, please come see me. No matter what it is, these little kids, whatever else. If you're here today, you've never believed on Jesus as your Savior and Lord, He wants to spend forever with you. Jesus laid His life down for you, shed His blood for you, so that way you could be given the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. And God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that if you will believe in Him, you will never perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn you. He sent Him here to save you. Father, we love You. Lord Jesus, we love You. Holy Spirit, we love You. Father, I just pray that I've said what You had to say. Lord, I pray that I've said what You wanted, and I pray that it's been conveyed in a way that's very clear. But if it was not clear, Holy Spirit, I ask You to take what was said and that was not conveyed clearly and make it clear to the hearts and minds of the people. Love You, Father. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pray this message strengthened, blessed, and encouraged you. You can find Word of Life Ministries on YouTube and Facebook. Just look for the guy with the cowboy hat on.